My name is Carlin Burisenko, and you're listening to the Actively Unwoke podcast. If you have not yet, please head over to my Substack, which is Carlin, K-A-R-L-Y-N, .substack.com. Make sure you're subscribed. This is my main content hub on the internet. You're going to catch all my original investigative and undercover journalism, where I'm telling you stories about what's going on the left that no one else is telling you. Today, I want to focus in on a really simple concept that sadly, I think is not as widely understood as it could be. And that's this. Why does the left constantly win? No matter what's going on, they always seem to be in the power position. No matter how on the back foot they seem, they always pull out a victory. No matter how crazy their ideas are, they always come out on top. Why does that happen? Well, it's actually very simple. The most powerful people in any social system are the ones who are expressive. Now, we know this from a lot of organizational psychology research. I know this because this is true in any workplace in the country. I'm an organizational psychologist by training. I practiced that for a number of years. And what you see when you go into workplaces, and you can think about your own workplace as an example, is the people who are speaking up. The people who get up in meetings, the people who get up in the boardroom, the people who are having all the sideline conversations in the kitchen and stuff like that, the people who are writing the memos, the people who are advancing their ideas, not waiting to be asked for something and responding to it, but actually going out there and advancing their ideas. Those are the people who get ahead. Those are the people who get promoted. Those are the ideas that are implemented. And it all goes back to something really, really simple. They express the idea in the first place. Now, it seems so simple, it's almost easy to overlook it, right? In order for an idea to make its way into reality, you have to say it out loud. You have to say, this is something valuable that we should do in the world. The reason why the left wins and the right does not win is because the left is constantly, over every possible medium, expressing their ideas. They are creating a forward-looking vision. They are doing conferences. They are doing events. They are doing trainings. They've taken over K-12 schools. They own the media. They are constantly making videos. They're writing books. They're doing presentations. They're standing on a street corner and yelling about their ideas. Even if they look crazy and they've got pink hair and they're waving their fist in the air, they're still expressing what they believe. They are expressing their ideas. There are dozens of far leftist book publishers that all they do is publish far left books. There are events all over the country. There are massive lists of events promoting gender identity, promoting critical race theory, promoting every single crazy idea the left has. They're taking place on college campuses all over the country. They're taking place in convention halls all over the country, in coffee shops, in people's houses. They're having meetings every chance they get. The left constantly shows up and expresses their ideas, and the right does not. What the right does is react to whatever the left is doing at all times. The right has no forward-looking vision. The right doesn't have any events, really. The right has a couple of conferences that take place. CPAC, maybe a couple others. Turning Point USA, okay. They've got a couple organizations doing conferences. And people might look at those events and think, wow, those are really big events. Look at that Turning Point event. There's so many people in the room. The people in the room for the Turning Point event pale in comparison to the people in the room for the leftist events that are taking place all over the country. So this is an issue of focus, and this is an issue of the side that wants it more will win. If you look at the GOP party platform, and by the way, I'm not a conservative for people who might be confused about this. I'm not a Republican. I'm not voting for Donald Trump. I don't really agree with much of what they have to say either. I don't think they're really any better than the left. I'm using this as an example. The GOP has not updated their party platform since Mitt Romney was nominated for president back in 2012. It has been over 10 years Since the Republican Party even made an effort to express any idea to say, this is what we believe in. If you go to an event like Turning Point and CPAC, and I've been to two CPACs. To be fair, I've never been to a Turning Point event, but I have been to two CPACs. These are giant parties. They're pep rallies. They're nothing more than revving up a base. When you go to a CPAC, basically you sit in a giant room, and then the headline speakers each get up on stage and they speak for 10 minutes at a time, and it's a giant pep rally. There's no coordination. There's no training. The other sessions that are held are really sparsely attended by attendees because all they want to do is see their big conservative celebrities and listen to them say the words they want them to say, and they go, yeah, yeah, USA, USA, USA. While they're doing that, the left is holding hardcore trainings. The left is running college classes. The left is running K-12 classes. The left is making videos that they're putting up on YouTube. In fact, let me read you just a couple of the presentations that I found from this past week. Now, if you were to look at conservative-leaning Twitter, or X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, you would hear them saying things like, we're winning! DEI is dead! We're defeating it! We're passing laws against it! Okay, well, that all sounds really good, and it makes the audience go, yeah, 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 USA, USA, USA! But let me tell you what the left is doing while the right is celebrating their inevitable victory on Twitter. These are a couple presentations that are on YouTube. I found these on YouTube within a 15-minute search. The first presentation is called, How Are We Supporting BIPOC LGBTQ+ Youth in Elementary School to Early Adulthood? This is from an organization called Community Shares of Wisconsin. It's a video of an in-person event that they held, it looks like probably in Madison, about how to support queer kids in schools. Now, you might say, well, Carlin, how many views does that presentation have? Because if it doesn't have thousands of views, it's not making an impact. No, you missed the point. This was an in-person event, probably funded by your taxpayer dollars, that took place in Madison, Wisconsin. And I don't care if it's got 3 views on YouTube. I don't care if it's got 10,000 views on YouTube. The point is that it exists in the first place. That they are doing these small community-oriented events all over the country, and these events are completely dismissed by the conservative right because they don't have millions of views on YouTube, and so they must not be good. But this is how the left wins. It's small audiences, local communities, over and over and over and over and over until you're reaching numbers of people that dwarf anything that any conservative influencer or any conservative organization have at their events, and it's not even close. Let me tell you a couple other videos. We've got one called Pride and Memory, the Pink Triangle. This is from the Unitarian Universalist Church out of the Quad Cities, which I believe is Indiana and Iowa. And this is all about queer activism or promoting a far left ideology. There were several presentations at South by Southwest. South by Southwest is a very large event, very lefty. I spoke at it a couple of times years ago. And they have presentations about LGBTQ activism and power that are taking place. And these presentations are going to reach thousands of people just at this event. This takes place in Austin, Texas. And you might say again, well, Austin's lefty. We know that. Well, this is why they're winning, guys. If you try to only appeal to conservative audiences, you are never going to win the hearts and minds required in order to start taking anything back or even slowing them down, because they're out there every single day at little events, at big events, in person, advancing their ideas. And that's the point. I've got one from the Arizona Library Association. This is called LGBTQ+ Outreach and Community Building. It's all about how you're supporting gender ideology, GSAs in schools, things like that. And this is, again, taxpayer funded because it's through the Arizona Library Association, which is going to be paid for by your taxes that you're funding into your public libraries out in Arizona. How about the University of Connecticut, another taxpayer funded institution? And now, again, all these presentations are in the last week. You can go over to my Substack and look in the show notes of this show and see the receipts for yourself. The University of Connecticut School of Social Work, LGBTQ+ 101 tools for creating affirming spaces. They're influencing social work with this in order to push queer ideology through that. How about a presentation from American Booksellers? This took place, it looks like, in a conference in Washington, D.C., and it's called Beyond the Binary. Let me read just a couple of sentences from the description. contemporary fiction increasingly invites the reader to see race, gender, and sexuality not as binary identities, but as a vibrant spectrum of diversity. This year's new fiction is opening up space for new ideas about how we might expand our understanding of identity and what a myriad of relational dynamics are possible beyond the normative concepts of race, gender, and sexuality. This is a keynote panel from this conference, so however many people are at this conference saw it, and it's also available on YouTube, and they're flat out saying that they are using fiction writing, fiction books, probably targeted at young adults, if I'm honest about it, in order to abolish the gender binary, which is the goal of queer Marxism. It's to abolish the gender binary. So now, not only are we seeing something at an in-person conference, we're seeing it show up online, we're also seeing this is a presentation about how they're using publishing in order to advance their ideas and influence the next generation. How about PBS out in Wisconsin? Another thing from Wisconsin. Wisconsin is it's showing up a lot in these searches. This is on the YouTube channel for the Milwaukee Public Broadcasting Service, which again is going to be taxpayer funded. And this is a documentary called Breaking the Binary, a 2024 TV workshop. And the description says, Breaking the Binary unveils the social construct of gender expression, how it's perceived in society today, and what it means to freely express yourself. Remember, expression is the name of our game here, isn't it? How about this one from the Museum of Natural and Cultural History? This is called Outliers and Outlaws, Storytelling Series, Queer at the University of Oregon. So again, University of Oregon is going to be a taxpayer-funded university. Decades of dynamic LGBTQIA+ students, faculty, and staff made a big impact on the University of Oregon campus and in Eugene. Come here, current and former UO faculty and students reflect on their efforts to create community and fight discrimination, and how those efforts are reflected in campus life today. And the last example I'm going to give you for right now, and again, I got all of these in less than a 15-minute search on YouTube. They're all publicly available. This is from the San Francisco Public Library. Celebration, Pride in Panels, Sickening, Queer Horror Comics. I'm going to say that again. Queer Horror Comics. This is a presentation that was sponsored by the James C. Hormel LGBTQIA Center at the San Francisco Public Library. So that's actually a center within the library system. The California College of Arts and something called prideinpanels.org. I'm not exactly sure what that is. San Francisco Queer Comics Festival was a groundbreaking inaugural showcase of San Francisco Bay Area's queer comics creators on February 18th, 2024, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My point is this. The most powerful people in any social system are the ones who are expressive. Every single one of these presentations, regardless of if 1,000 people saw it, or 100 people saw it, or 5 people saw it, every single one of these presentations that I just rattled off, and there are probably hundreds more just like them that have popped up in the last week, if not thousands, every single one of these is an opportunity for the left to express their ideas and push their ideology and get more people on board. What is countering this? Nothing. Because complaining on Twitter is not going to change any of this. When the right complains about what the left is doing, when the right reacts to what the left is doing, you know what the left does? They laugh. And they keep on going, and they make more presentations, and they hold more events, and they publish more books, and they make more videos. And the right seems to think they've got some sort of victory because they're like, oh, we owned the libs on Twitter. The left doesn't care about that. They never have. It might be a momentary annoyance or amusement to them, but nothing is stopping what they're doing. Nothing is throwing sand in their gears. You can have influencers pretending that they're saving the world for liberal values all you want, but nothing they're doing is actually slowing down what the left is doing. In fact, most of the time, the influencers that are popular on the conservative right, the left doesn't even know who they are. That's how focused they are on advancing their message. The left doesn't even know who the influencers that are quote-unquote trying to stop them are. You know, I went undercover at an event this past weekend at the University of Colorado, and you can find more information about that on my Substack. But people always say to me, they're like, Carlin, don't you get recognized at these things? And I'm like, no. First of all, my name and my brand isn't as big as a lot of people, so I probably wouldn't get recognized. I very rarely get recognized when I'm out in public. But even more than that, I cover the left 6 days a week. They'll come in my chat and talk to me. They get annoyed about me on Twitter sometimes. But if they see me in person, I'm so inconsequential to them that they have no idea who I am. And I make an effort to change my look and do all that. And I hear from conservatives all the time. They're like, we're not going to fund your undercover work because you're going to get recognized. Which, of course, is just an excuse. It's just an excuse to not do something of value, but that's another story for another day. But I always laugh when I say that because I'm like, do you realize that the left is so self-centered? They don't even look in my eyes. They're not looking for me in any way. There was one event that I went undercover at that they literally knew I was coming and they still didn't get me. And they didn't want me there, by the way. They tried to preemptively ban me from the event. And I had signed up under a different name. And even when I showed up, they knew I was watching their event. They knew I was coming to their event. And I showed up and no one recognized me. Not just because I had the greatest disguise in the world, although I did have a good disguise for that one. But they didn't recognize me because I am inconsequential to them. I'm like a fly. I'm an ant. I'm an annoyance to them. Nothing more than that. And they're so self-centered with what they're focusing on that they don't look up to look around them to see what's happening. That's how far ahead they are, guys. They don't have to worry about us because our side has been completely ineffective at fighting back against them to the point where now they're so far ahead, they don't even really pay us all that much mind. We might annoy them a little bit. They'll block us on Twitter. They'll keep going and keep doing more presentations and doing more books and releasing what they're doing. And this is how they win. I'm asked all the time, what do we need to do to fight back? What do we need to do to fight back? Well, the only way to fight back against this in any realistic way is that, well, a couple things. Number one, you have to learn the language of the left. And I know that most of you listening to this believe that you already understand the language, but I am telling you that you do not. The vast majority of people think they understand the left, but they have no idea. What they might understand is a conservative interpretation of the left, but that interpretation is not grounded in reality at all. And because that perspective is not grounded in reality of what the left is actually doing, what the right does is they implement these tactics that they're like, we're winning, we're winning, we're winning. They focus on these things that it makes them feel like they're making progress. It's like they're moving. What it is, you know, when you clean your house sometimes and you've got a big mess in one room and then you pick up the mess in one room and you move it into another room, but the mess is still kind of messy, but you've moved it from one room to another room. And so you feel like it's productive and you're like, oh, I got a lot of cleaning done today, even though the mess is still there. Maybe this just happens to me. The mess is still there. You haven't actually cleaned anything, but you feel like you have. That is what the right is doing when they're fighting the left, and this is why the right loses. They are making busy work for themselves over and over and over and over and over again, and then they give themselves a high five, and they go, we're winning! We're winning! We're winning! We beat DEI, bro! No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't beat anything. You just took a mess from one side of the room and you moved it over to the other side of the room and you said, okay, it's all clean now. Nothing more to see here. Let's sit back and watch the game and have a beer. The right does not understand the left. And so the right is constantly focused on things that do not matter, that are specifically designed to be distractions. And the only way to combat that is to learn the language of the left and hinge back into reality. And that is what I do 6 days a week on my YouTube channel, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Saturdays, we go live at 6 p.m. for Socialism Saturday. I'm also on X. I'm on Rumble. You can find it just by looking at my name, Carlin Burisenko. I'll come right up. But the other thing that the right needs to start doing in order to beat back the left is to start expressing a positive looking vision that includes everyone. That last part is really important. Because what I hear from the conservative right these days are they want to ban women, they want to ban gays, they don't want anyone that's like an independent or disaffected lefty, they don't want libertarians. They know all the things they don't want. What I hear, and you might have a different experience, what I hear is all they want is conservative Christianity, and that is it. And that leaves a lot of people out, and a lot of people don't want to align with that. So if you want to have any hope of beating the left at all, you need to start creating your own culture that is inclusive of everyone with a positive forward vision, and you need to dispense with this idea that you are going to implement a conservative Christian utopia, because that is not going to happen. If you are unwilling to give up that dream, you are going to lose, and you are going to lose badly, and it's going to be your own dang fault. And I hate to be that severe about it, but that's just the truth. We don't always get everything we want. You're allowed to be a conservative Christian. But when your entire vision for what you're putting out into the world is just about advancing your religion that most people don't agree with and don't want to have dictate their lives, and that's your entire strategy, you're going to lose, bro. And in this case, losing means losing your kids. Because the left is constantly attacking parental rights right now for reasons that I've written about other places, in terms of they want to destroy the nuclear family because they believe the nuclear family upholds capitalism, which is defined as private property ownership. You can find out more information on the Substack about that if you want to. I don't have a lot of hope right now. I'll be honest, probably not the thing you want to hear, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't have a lot of hope right now. And the reason I don't have a lot of hope right now is I don't see many people taking this seriously. The left takes this seriously. They take this seriously. The left is like, even if I'm going to give a presentation that only three people are going to watch, I'm going to show up and I'm going to give that presentation. And then I'm going to give it again and again and again and again and again. And maybe only a couple dozen people see it at each stop, but I'm going to add up the number of people who are seeing it over time. The right is like, if you don't have tens of thousands of views, it's not even worth watching. And I don't know. I don't even have any followers on Twitter. I'm not going to say anything. And I just don't know why would we even bother doing a conference? No one wants to come. And it's just like what we need is more celebrities and influencers because that's going to make us feel good that people agree with that. It's like it is one of the most unhinged strategies that I've ever seen coming out of any group. What I'm seeing come out of the conservative right. Like I said, I'm not a conservative, and I'm really reticent to even try to help them because I don't think that they're even worthy of help at this point. But I don't know. The reality is it's a numbers game. And if the right doesn't get their act together, it doesn't matter what the independents do. It doesn't matter what the libertarians do. It doesn't matter what the disaffected lefties do. It doesn't matter what any of us do, because we do not have the numbers to fight back. And every single day we are dragging the conservative right behind us saying, are you guys ready to get serious? You want to actually do something about this? And they're like, no. It's maddening. It's maddening. It really is. Even the influencers on the right don't take it seriously. It's just all a branding exercise for them. They get to become famous and write best-selling books and get clout on the internet about it, and that's really all they care about. Anyway, I'm not going to rant too much more on this at the moment, but I hope I made my point. The left wins because they have a positive, forward-looking vision. You might not agree with their vision, but they have it, and they express that vision constantly over every possible medium. The most powerful people in any social system are the ones who are expressive. So get more expressive. And if you're not willing to do that, then don't be surprised when you lose. All right, guys. That's all I've got for this time. Again, head over to the Substack. Make sure you're subscribed. Karlyn, karlyn.substack.com. And if you want to sign up there for a monthly or annual membership for $8 a month, $80 a year, you will support the work I'm doing, including this podcast, including original, investigative, and undercover journalism you won't find anywhere else. I'll catch you next time, guys. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.